Speaker Allison Groves is a third-year doctoral student in the Department of Health Behavior and Health Education at the UNC Global School of Public Health. Thank you. Officially now the Global School of Public Health, I believe, this year. So for the past 3 years, she has worked with Dr. Suzanne Mammon on a randomized controlled trial designed to provide enhanced psychosocial support to South African women after they have tested for HIV during pregnancy. She grew up in Colorado and is happy to be back in Denver in APHA. And we're happy to have you here because, just so you know, the COWER mission involves an international mission, and we try to include international human rights on most of our panels.
I should say I'm happy to be back in Colorado until it started hailing last night. Hopefully most of you are here for the weekend too, because it was much, much better weather then. So good morning. I'd like to talk about providing legal services as part of an HIV post-test support package for pregnant women at a public clinic in Durban, South Africa. And I've worked on a team, as she mentioned, with my advisor, Suzanne Mammon, and then also a legal attorney, Dave Holness, and then Daya Moodley and Patrika Rouse on this project for the last 3 years. Okay, and I also have no financial relationships to disclose, and I should also disclose that I am not a lawyer either. Oh, great. Okay. So today I'd like to describe one specific component of a broader PMTCT intervention, and PMTCT is prevention of mother-to-child transmission, and this intervention is one that we're implementing in Durban, South Africa. And I'm going to talk today primarily about the legal component of the intervention, but I hope to give you a little bit of an understanding of the broader intervention as well. And so in this presentation, I'll describe the rationale that we had for developing the legal piece of the intervention, and then I'll talk about how this component fits into the broader intervention itself. I'll talk about how we're evaluating the legal piece, and then I'll describe implementation and uptake of legal services. And also, I'll share with you some of the challenges we face so far in providing legal services in the clinic setting. So South Africa's legal environment concerning both the rights of women and the rights of individuals infected with HIV and AIDS has often been cited as a model because it has such progressive legislation for other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. Despite this, there are ongoing concerns that vulnerable individuals in South Africa either have limited knowledge of their legal rights or limited access to legal services. And it's possible that pregnant women, and specifically women who test positive for HIV during pregnancy, may face amplified legal needs. So the primary aims of the legal component of our intervention are twofold. It's one is to increase women's awareness of their legal rights, and second, to increase access by providing these legal support services at the antenatal care clinic where we provide care. And today I'm really going to be talking about the second of those two aims. So SAHAPS is the name of our randomized control trial, and this is just a diagram of the broader study design, just to give you a sense of the bigger piece of the intervention. And this randomized control trial is designed to provide enhanced, integrated psychosocial support to women testing for HIV during their current pregnancy. We've enrolled 1,500 HIV-positive and HIV-negative women to participate in this trial. And we started enrolling women in the study in May of 2008, and we anticipate that, or we're hoping to finish the study in next year in November. So I'm going to share with you some of the content of the intervention itself, but first I just wanted to sort of explain the process of being a participant in this study. So we enroll women in this study when they come in for their first antenatal care visit, and after they complete a baseline assessment, they are then either randomized to the intervention arm or to the control arm. Women who are randomized to the control arm receive the standard of care in South Africa, and it's represented by the boxes in the white. And then women who are randomized to the intervention arm receive our specific study intervention. And then women return both at 14 weeks and 9 months postpartum for follow-up assessments. So women who are randomized to the intervention arm receive a bunch of different services that are designed to provide them enhanced support. When they first attend antenatal care, they're very first shown a health education video. And the video itself is designed to raise awareness around The fact that they're going to be offered an HIV test at that visit, and then to hopefully get them to start thinking about the different types of things that they might want to think about in relation to the outcomes of that HIV test. So issues around disclosure of their HIV status, issues around infant feeding, and getting their partners tested, and so on. The pre-test and post-test HIV counseling is provided by a nurse who is trained to provide HIV counseling to our patients. And this nurse is the same individual who then provides them antenatal care and postnatal care throughout the rest of the course of the intervention. There are two additional post-test sessions that women can attend in the early postpartum period. Traditional HIV counseling and testing models have the visit where you get tested for HIV and you receive counseling around your results, and that's pretty much it in the standard of care. And so the idea of this intervention is to provide additional opportunities for women in case there are issues that they are facing in the early post, in the pregnancy and the early postpartum period specific to learning their HIV status. And these two additional post-test sessions occur at 6 and 10 weeks postpartum, and they focus primarily on, they build on things that were discussed in the prior counseling sessions, and then the nurse also introduces issues around family planning, and then also introduces the legal component of the intervention to the participants. And throughout the course of the intervention, our participants have access to post-test support groups, and then access to legal services. So now I'll tell you a little bit more about the legal component of the intervention. To deliver this intervention, we've partnered with the University of KwaZulu-Natal Campus Law Clinic, and this clinic has been around for a long time. They provide legal education and services to vulnerable populations throughout the province, and they come in and provide educational outreach sessions to women in the waiting room while they're waiting to be seen by their study nurse. In addition, our study nurses screen women for legal needs at the 6-week postpartum visit, and the way that the nurses do that is they go through a number of different vignettes where they talk about various legal issues women in South Africa might face during this time period, and they then engage in a conversation with the woman to see if she's actually experiencing any of those issues herself. And if she is then referred to the legal staff and where she can set up an appointment to get legal services. And additionally, if women have legal needs that arise before that 6-week postpartum visit, they can actually contact the lawyer directly or talk with her during the educational outreach sessions. And then finally, women can initiate these legal services all the way up to 9 months postpartum. And I didn't say that other one, that the lawyer is available on an average of about 3 days a week to meet with the participants. So the legal component of this intervention is embedded within our larger randomized control trial. And as such, we're not going to be able to isolate the effects of the legal component on its own. We're measuring the idea, this whole entire package, to see if this package improves women's health outcomes, but we can't see if the video itself or the legal component itself or each of those pieces, what actual effect they had. That said, we are actually measuring legal knowledge and legal need in the baseline and follow-up assessments, and so we will be able to look at changes in those things across time. And then in addition, we have just started a qualitative case study where we're interviewing women who have access to legal services to learn more about their experiences receiving those services. So I've talked a little bit about the fact that we're based in KwaZulu-Natal, and I just wanted to give you a little bit more information about the setting of this study. National HIV prevalence in South Africa is estimated to be 10 to 12%, and South Africa is experiencing one of the worst HIV epidemics in the world. And in KwaZulu-Natal, the HIV prevalence is higher. It's estimated to be almost 16%. It has the worst rates of HIV in the country. In addition, violence, and especially intimate partner violence, is another serious epidemic in South Africa. In one nationally representative study, 25% of all women had experienced physical violence in their lifetime, and 10% had experienced physical violence in the past year. Additionally, South Africa has one of the highest proportions of rape anywhere in the world, and reported acts of sexual violence against women increased 20% last year. These high levels of violence have significant negative consequences, and violence and injuries are the second leading cause of death in South Africa behind HIV/AIDS. So when we first started designing this component of the intervention, we really anticipated that the legal needs of women would most likely be related to intimate partner violence and then also possibly HIV-specific discrimination. Those are issues, but they're not entirely the major ones. So the other thing I'll say is that this intervention takes place in an urban township just outside of Durban, and there is a typo under that. It's not an informal settlement. It's a township that's been around since the beginning of apartheid. It's estimated that the population of this township is almost 500,000 people. And we are providing this intervention at a public health care clinic, and there are 9,000 antenatal visits initiated every year, and a quarter of those women are coming with their pregnant for the very first time. And then most of these women deliver at a nearby hospital that's situated within the township as well. So as I've alluded to, we're measuring aspects of the legal intervention numerous ways. And so first of all, we're asking women about their legal needs and legal knowledge in our baseline assessment. And we have trained survey interviewers who are conducting these baseline assessments. And this is the way that they ask about legal needs. They say, I'm now going to ask you a number of questions about different problems people may face. I'd like to know if you've ever experienced these problems or are currently experiencing them, and if you have been able to get any help in addressing them, specifically from the police or from the law. By law, I mean from lawyers, paralegal assistants, from the court system, or from the judgment of a chief. I want to ask you about your experience with several types of potential problems. For each one, please tell me if you have ever experienced this problem or are currently experiencing this problem. And we develop different categories of potential legal needs in consultation with our partners at the Campus Law Clinic, and then also with other individuals at the Human Rights Watch and Open Society Institute. And it was a bit of a challenge because we weren't able to find other studies where people had really been measuring legal knowledge and legal needs in this setting prior to this. And in addition, we also pilot tested our baseline survey using cognitive interviewing prior to launching the intervention. So we were really trying to make sure that we were getting the categories that would be most relevant to women and that we were asking about them in the most appropriate way. And then finally, we're also measuring a number of aspects about the cases themselves that are being opened by the staff attorney, including the details of the case, whether or not the case was resolved, how long it took for the case from the time it was opened until the time that it finished. So here are just a few summary demographics of our participants. The mean age is 27 years, and women on average have been in a relationship for 4 years with their current sexual partner. And the majority of women have high school or greater education. And the HIV, these figures are very consistent with HIV prevalence in pregnant women. 37% of the women in our intervention have tested positive for HIV. So here's a description of some of the women's legal needs from the baseline survey. There were no differences across study arms at baseline with respect to ever having a legal problem or currently experiencing a legal problem, which is good because it means the randomization worked. And 29% of women have ever had a legal problem, and 15% were currently experiencing a legal problem. And the types of legal problems from the baseline survey were similar for those forever or current experiencing a legal problem and revolved around issues related to getting work, issues with getting an ID card, experiencing intimate partner violence, and then issues with maintenance, which is essentially child support. In terms of the provision of legal services, 77% of our intervention participants have received legal education while in the waiting room. And I should mention that we started our intervention in May of 2008, but we didn't start the legal component until September of 2008, so there was a gap in the implementation of that piece. In terms of seeking legal counsel, 15% of our intervention participants have opened up legal cases as of September 2010. And on average, women have seen the lawyer at least 2 times, and 15% of them have seen her 4 or 5 times. And finally, significantly more HIV positive than HIV negative women have opened cases. Here are the frequencies of the different types of legal cases provided, and maintenance thus far has been the most common thing that women have sought assistance from the lawyer with. So remember, maintenance is the child support type thing. And other child-related cases that have been initiated include custody, paternity disputes, child support grants, and guardianship. The 17 cases that were open for labor were around labor disputes, and the violence category that you see here, the 17 cases for violence included protection orders against partners, but then also seeking legal counsel for sexual abuse by community orders, and then also peace orders, which, to my understanding, are restraining orders but against non-partners to other people in the community. Our legal attorney has 42% of the cases have been resolved, and she has gone to court for 14% of these cases, and then many of the other cases have settled out of court. And thus far, it's taken an average of 7 months for them to be resolved, but this is very preliminary because we still have a lot of women who are in the midst of receiving their legal care. So while this study demonstrates the feasibility of integration, the lengthy judicial process may be a major challenge to integration of this in a healthcare setting in the long term. And this was a big concern that we had when we first started the intervention. It was an ethical one. We thought, what if a woman opens a case? We want to be able to follow her, you know, provide certain legal services for the duration of the case, regardless of when our intervention ends. That's really, really important. And part of our strength in the partnership with the Campus Law Clinic is that they already provide legal services and outreach with other individuals, and so they're able to and committed to helping women follow through their cases until they are completed. And as the study comes to a close next year, it'll be really important to see how many outstanding cases there are, to see if there are some that extend beyond the course of the intervention. We've also found that many women face financial troubles that prohibit them from fully pursuing the case. So one example would be that a woman who wanted assistance with paternity, but she didn't have the money to pay for the paternity test itself. And then finally, there are a number of needs that women have brought to the lawyer that would be more appropriately addressed by a social worker. That said, there's clearly unmet legal need in our population. 15% had unmet legal need, and we've been pretty happy with the amount of women who have been soliciting legal services in our intervention. And it does seem to us that the types of legal cases have been similar for the HIV negative and HIV positive, but this higher uptake among the HIV positive women does suggest that their needs may be amplified. And in the qualitative case study, we hope to interview HIV positive women specifically so that we can see how the legal services do or do not meet any of their needs, and specifically any needs that might arise after testing positive for HIV during their current pregnancy. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.